Welcome to the Kelly Cardenas Podcast, where attitude is everything. On today's show, I have two of people that I've been going after for quite some time. I've been chasing this young lady down. And now, J-Rob, I want you to know that I'm not chasing her down like that. But I think that she has such an incredible, incredible story, which you guys have heard. If you're on the podcast, you guys have heard her story before, which is great. Her dog barked the whole entire time, you know, and we couldn't get it to stop. It was crazy. But I think one of the most important podcasts out there right now is Jamie and Abby and Out of Bounds from the Tennessee Titans. And I love it because you guys are talking about real things. So please welcome to the show the co-founder of Nashville Guru and the self-proclaimed better half, Jamie Robinson and Abby Flitner.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Hi.
It is so good to have you guys on. I think I want to jump right into this right away, Abby. One thing that you said is don't be afraid to fail. Like I was listening to a podcast with you the other day and I heard you say that. Can you expand on that? Because a lot of people, that's the reason why they don't start in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I think so. I quit my corporate job at 25 to start Nashville Guru. That was 10 years ago. And, you know, I went to my parents and said, I'm going to do this. I want to go out on my own. This is the only time I feel like I'm going to be able to do something like this. And they were like, what? Keep your job, do it on the side. It's fine. And I'm like, what's the worst case? I fail at it and I go back to the same job. You know, I guess for me, again, I didn't have kids at the time. I think it's a little bit easier to say that when you don't have kids, but I had nothing to lose. You know, I was like, so I fail, I get back up, I say, oops, I tried it, but it's better to try and fail than never try at all.
Well, I love the spirit. And Jamie, you seem to have that spirit where I remember when you said at first when you were going to start the podcast. And for anyone out there watching, you have to watch and listen to the Out of Bounds podcast. I mean, this thing, it gives you insight and it gives you real, I think it gives you real insight to real people, which I think is amazing. But Jamie, for you, I remember when you text me and you said, hey, we're going to start this podcast. And what gave you the permission? Like, who gave you the permission to go and do this? I'm not talking about a physical person, but what gave you the permission in your mind to, hey, I'm going to go start a podcast. I'm going to go do it.
You know what? It's number one, like the girl who started the whole podcast, she was like, Jamie, you can talk to a pole. I'm like, yeah, I kind of can, you know? I don't know. Like, you know, when we started in this job and with John being the GM, we've always taken it as using our platform for good. And that's the way I look at it, is this is the way that Abby and I can spread good within women and within our community and have fun doing it all at once. And it has been a lot of fun to do this together.
So how did you guys connect? Because it seems like you guys have such a great synergy. Who wanted to be whose friend first?
So we, going back to when we first started the podcast, the idea was to get another female host. And so it was brought to me, you know, do you want to do this by yourself? Would you like a co-host? I'm like, you know, I really wanted a co-host. I just felt like it would be a lot of fun. And so we had a couple of names and Abby was one of them. And so I told the girl who was doing the interview with me, I was like, listen, we're going to sit down and we're going to order a cocktail and we're going to see who orders the cocktail with us.
I was the only one.
Wait a second. Okay. I think inquiring minds want to know what cocktail do each of you have? What's the choice? What is
it? It was the same one. We had a peach Bellini.
Peach Bellini. Okay. All right. So you guys.
And then after, it was just one and we had lunch and we started talking and we could not stop talking. And that's when I knew. I was like, I immediately after we left, I called Carly and I was like, okay, I think we found her. I'm like, because we could not stop talking.
Yeah, we met once and it kind of like felt like I'd known her my whole life. Mm-hmm. It was really weird. And that doesn't happen to me very often. Like, it takes me a long time to have like really good friends. And it just like was natural.
It really was. So kind of like me and you, Jelly.
No, Abby, this is a story with Jamie and I. I walked up to her and I said, I'm going to force you to be my friend for the rest of your life. That's what I said. That's verbatim what I said. And she looked at me like wide-eyed, like, this dude is crazy. So
what was great is you had no clue who my husband was at the time. You had no clue. You literally just wanted to be my friend.
Oh. I had no idea. This happened to me the other day. I was sitting at the table, right? We're at this convention. And I talked to this guy. He has a cool beard. And I talked to this dude. And I said, hey, how you doing? We started talking about the chicken nugget makers, which we'll talk about later. And I said to him, hey, man, how you doing? My kids, we're talking, chopping it up. And he's like, hey, I apologize. I have to cut this short, but I've got to go right now. And I said, no problem. And he turns and walks onto stage. He's the next keynote speaker. And then he's like, you know, he says a few things that he's like, you know, and I proved this concept with a little known company that maybe you guys might know that I founded, which is Priceline.com. And I was like, what? But we had already become friends. So I was like, I was good, you know, so.
That's what you need to be nice to everybody you meet. You cannot show judgment, you know, and that drives me crazy when people do that. It's like you just don't know.
Mm-hmm. How did you guys, I mean, Abby, let's start with you and I want to go to Jamie. Abby, how did you, how was that connection point? Because you said that you don't connect as quickly. What was it about Jamie that you were like, hey, we're going to have this Bellini and we're just going to start chopping it up right away? What were the things that helped you to drop your guard?
Well, okay. She's the wife of the GM of the Titans. Okay. I knew I was meeting with her, Jamie Robinson. I had never heard much about her at all. And so I was like, if this woman is stuck up, like, I'm not doing it. Like, I was like, I have two kids. I have a business. Like, I'm not doing something with someone I don't get along with. So right off the bat, I don't know. I just met her. She gave me a hug. She was warm. Like, she has two kids. I have two kids. Like, we just started connecting and I could just tell she was real and like salt of the earth. And you just get that from her.
Aww.
And it was aww, just great.
This episode is brought to you by one of my favorite companies in the entire world, the Mina Group. As one of the top culinary experiences in the world, celebrity chef Michael Mina and his team are dedicated to giving you what you never knew you always wanted. With 30 locations throughout the world, this company is focused on the one thing that truly matters. They're people, and that is why they are your world of wow. Change your life by going to michaelmina.net.
Yeah.
So Abby, you rolled in with your dukes up. Like, I'm about to cut this. I'm about to cut this lady. If she's nasty, I'm gonna cut her and then walk off and then go have some Jack Daniels, right? That's what you're gonna do.
No, I think I was just, you know, I think we all know you have to choose your time, like how you spend mm-hmm. your time so wisely, especially when you're parents. And so I just thought if it's not the right fit, that's okay. Yeah. I mean, they were interviewing me, but I was also interviewing them mm-hmm. to see if this was something I wanted to be a part of. And it was just like a match made in heaven. So
what did you see, Jamie? What did you see in it? Like, what did you see when she's walking up? I mean, obviously both of you are absolutely beautiful. You know, there's good too, because there's the blonde head, there's the brunette, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've got this, but what were the things that you saw that their intrinsic parts that you saw that said, okay, she might be all right.
What was cool is kind of what you just said, that you interviewed us. That's exact. I felt that. And I love that about it. You know, it wasn't just like you trying to sell yourself to mm-hmm. us. It was, hey, I need to know if this is going to benefit me as well.
Yeah.
I'd love that so much. And just, I don't know, she just started talking to me as a person and asking about my children and asking me why I wanted to do this podcast. And that blew me away right there. I've never told her any of this before. So it's that really, whenever you ask me about why I wanted to do it, uh-huh. I thought that was the coolest thing. I did.
So with both of you, right? Both of you are, I would say, we're going to, jokingly, mildly successful at what you do. Okay. And for our listeners out there, I'm joking here because some of people are going to be like, I'm offended by them now. They're the Nashville guru. That's the better half. They have out of bounds. They're really successful, Kelly. Okay. Moderately successful. But how do you still connect? Because a lot of times, like, people disconnect. I watch it with Michael Jackson, right? Like, I watched it as a kid. I was a huge fan of Michael Jackson, Billie Jean. It was like the music. And then once he got to this level, he made music that wasn't connecting with any of the people. And that's when he lost his audience, I feel. Same thing I saw happen with Prince, too. And Prince, love him to death. But towards the end, you didn't connect with this music as much as you did as Purple Rain. I just compared both of you to Michael Jackson and Prince. I don't know who's which. You guys get to choose. But talk to our listeners out there about how you're able to be flying in these circles, flying in these planes, and still be able to connect with people on a cellular level.
I think for me, like, I really do know right off the bat if I want to connect with someone or not. Like, I'm always going to be kind and sweet and, like, I would never be, like, mean to somebody or anything. But I can tell very quickly if it's somebody that I, like, want to have a 30-minute conversation with, or I want to say, like, hey, it was so nice to meet you. I'm going to skirt around here. Like, I don't know if it's us getting older and people being more set in their ways, but, like, if someone comes up to me and talks about themselves for the first five minutes and doesn't say anything about, like, how are you? Where are you from? Like, just simple stuff. I'm like, we're done. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have time for it. But I mean, be nice to everyone, be kind to everyone. But I don't know. I have, like, a radar right now that I really listen to.
And awesome. You should. I yeah. know. With moving around and just meeting so many people, it is really hard to have a radar. You know, that's something John had to teach me is, Jamie, you can't be friends with everybody. And I've learned that. I haven't had anything major that has happened, but I've also learned my time is bare minimal. So I need to make the best of it, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm the opposite. I am, like, I love everybody. That's just, you know, I just love everybody. And then, but I also have a good intuition.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a friend of mine, she's always saying, come use your psychic ways on me, please. Me McCormick. She tells me that all the time.
But so, I think to answer your question, like, I can connect with anybody. I've always been able to do that. Like, that's how I am just as a person. Like, even when I was young, I'm the youngest of three. And so I think it just was, you're talking to everyone. My parents raised us in a very social household. Like, you come down, you talk to adults, you know, so mm-hmm. I think connecting is just, like, something I'm good at, but don't always want to do it with everyone.
Now, talk to us, especially there's a lot of listeners out there that don't live in the South. And I want to go to this place because I lived in the South. I lived in Memphis, spent a lot of time in Nashville. And people in the South don't realize that other people outside the South don't understand the South. And when you mm-hmm. get to the South, there's this learning curve. There's things that you learn, right? One is a couple phrases. I'm going to tell you the phrase. You know the phrase I'm about to say. Bless your heart. Because when I got there, I thought everybody was wanting to send me to heaven. Because everybody was blessing my heart. Can you let the people know what bless your heart actually means? And how many times you've used it in the last week?
Unknown caller.
So can you talk to us about that, about we're live right now and someone heard that and they're like, why did you not turn off your phone, Kelly? So talk to us about bless your heart, because this is a cultural thing, but it's Southern cultural thing.
What tell does us, it mean to you?
Tell us what it means.
So from New Orleans, we don't necessarily use that. Like, I feel like where I'm from, it is the South, but it's a different kind of South.
That's a different planet.
So I've never technically used bless your heart before, but I take it as a sarcastic, like, for you, right? You know?
Like, oh, you fool.
Yeah. But I've never used it ever.
Ever? Ever, Jamie? We can't find any footage. I can't interview. No. I can't interview anybody. I'm gonna search them out.
No.
I'm gonna search them out. Abby?
I have never used that.
Abby has that hand in the cookie jar face right now that she knows that she has used this term.
No, I haven't.
Never.
I don't think so. No, because, okay, I moved here when I was 8. So I grew up, before that, I was 5 years in Chicago. And so when I moved to Tennessee, it was like, what the heck? Where are you taking us? We are from Chicago. This is not okay. I don't say y'all. I don't say bless your heart.
I say y'all.
Yes, she says y'all all the time. And I don't know why. It's just I still say you guys, like a northerner. I don't know. It's just like, I think it's where I learned to speak. But another southern thing, everyone holds the door for you. And I thought when I moved here, like someone was trying to kill me. Like someone held the door for me at a gas station. And I was like, what do you want? I didn't get it. They don't do that everywhere.
My mom made us do it. My mom was strong. My mom would stand in front of the door. We had, you know, my brother and I, and she would stand in front of the door and she would just look at us. If we didn't open the door, she didn't go in the store.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that as a mom that you're teaching your kids that you're really strong on that other people think you're crazy for doing?
That's a good question.
Jamie, I got good questions. That's why I'm here.
I know. You're stumping me.
I feel like I'm pretty strict on like back talk and attitude. So a lot of people, I don't know. I feel like the parenting nowadays is very like, we don't really say no. We let them figure it out and yada, yada. And I'm like, no, that girl is not going to talk to me that way. She will be punished. I will follow through with the punishment. And a lot of my friends just, you know, they're like, it's not worth the fight. And for me, it's worth the fight.
Yes. I was the same way.
Yeah.
So her kids are quite younger than mine. Mine are nearly 13, nearly 16.
Yeah.
And then
mine are 6 and 8 months.
So I get to teach her everything.
Yes. So I'm learning.
But I was the same way. Like there were certain words in my house you cannot use, and such as hate. Shut up. None of that. My kids still to this day don't use those words. Mm-hmm. I grew up like that too. And hate's a strong word, mm-hmm. you know, to hate somebody that just doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
Now every now and then Taylor will throw in a word here. Like she said something in the car today and I was like, what are you saying?
My daughter, it was like 2 days ago. She goes, I know what the S word is. And I was like, oh yeah, what is it? She goes, dang. And I was like, yep. Got it. Nailed it.
Sucks is another one that kids throw around a lot. I didn't allow that one.
Yeah. Yeah. My big thing's back talk and attitude for sure.
Yeah.
Abby, how do you deal with back talk? Or do you go into tight lip mode? You know what I'm talking about? When mom gets like, don't you talk to me that... What's your go-to?
Well, I just terrify the whole household when I get upset, because if I get upset, she knows, Jessa knows, because the baby is a baby, and then, you know, I get mad at my husband, but he's different. But Jessa knows, but we do the warning system. So if she gets to 3 warnings, she loses whatever her favorite thing is at that time.
Really?
Are you a yeller? I'm a yeller. That's why I asked. I'm a yeller. That's how they know I'm upset.
Every now and then, but I more just get really serious and like, you know, I'm mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think with my kids, the best thing I ever did was be really, really strict whenever they were younger, just like what you're doing. I was so strict. Number one, because I felt like I was a single mom because John was traveling so much at the time. And I'm like, if y'all are going bananas, that makes me bananas. And I can't have that by myself.
Yeah.
So I was really, really strict. And now it's funny. It's like tables have turned. I'm not that strict anymore. I mean, for certain things I am, but I don't need to be.
You laid
it's
the foundation. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good. Like, I'm really enjoying the stage of parenthood. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It really is.
This episode is proudly brought to you by SamaritansFeet.org. I met Manny, a homie, probably about 4 or 5 months ago, and this man had such an impression on me. He told me that when he was 9 years old, he had lived up until that point without shoes, and he won a contest, got shoes, and it changed his whole entire life, inspired him to play basketball, inspired him to get a Division I scholarship playing basketball and succeed at a high level in his life. He then got to a point where he was so successful, but he was looking for purpose in his life. Samaritan's Feet serves and inspires hope in children by providing shoes as a foundation to a spiritual and healthy life, resulting in the advancement of education and economic opportunities. When I asked Manny, why shoes? Why did you think that this would be so huge? And he said, to provide a tangible foundation of hope and the opportunity for a better life, to prompt children to focus in school and families not to worry, and to protect feet and decrease the possibility of getting a foot-borne disease. Since 2003, Samaritan's Feet and its partners have distributed over 8 million pairs of shoes in 108 countries and over 440 U.S. cities. And that's why I'm so proud that SamaritansFeet.org is one of the main sponsors of the Kelly Cardenas podcast, because making this world a better place is our rent for living on this planet. So you've got a 6-year-old daughter, you said, right? It shook me there for a second because you said, I have 2 children, 1 6 and 1 8 months. I was like, wow, they're that close together, 2 months apart. You guys must have been, you know, like some magic. No. That's some magic right there. I don't got that kind of magic. You know what I'm saying? Unless she had a side piece or something like that. So I ain't giving you that, Abby. So, okay, 6 years old daughter, and Jamie, you've got daughters who are past 6 years old. What are some of the things that Abby can get ready for that is coming?
That's coming. Wow. So at six, it's kindergarten, and she's first. I mean, it's just the having the friends who are not like me. You know, parents who are not like me, trying to navigate their friendships, because let's be honest, we all do it. I don't do it anymore. I mean, they've become established with their friend groups. But that was really hard because I was scared of not peer pressure, but just like, for instance, I would not let my children watch Eloise. Do y'all know that cartoon?
I know it. You told me this before. I haven't watched it.
It's the brattiest kid, and she lived in the Plaza Hotel in New York. She was so bratty. And I would not let my children watch that because I'm like, they're going to take that away from this cartoon, and that's not right. Yeah. You know? But I just stayed on top of my girls with whatever I did. And I mean, hurt feelings and, which I'm sure you deal with already, you know, girl drama. Something. Mm-hmm. I had it more with Bailey than I did with Taylor. As Taylor got older, she's getting a little bit of the girl drama, but she's also old enough. She navigates it herself. Mm-hmm. Bailey, she had it since kind of small. And, but she's navigated. She's good now. Mm-hmm. But she's my sensitive one.
So, Abby, are you, or were you the baby in the family? You got siblings. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm the baby of 3 girls.
Okay.
So,
how much do you think that plays into your, like, go-getter spirit, your entrepreneurial spirit? Like, I'm just going to try this thing out and go. Right? Because I see babies in the family that, I mean, other, like, not to say that it's, because it's a great thing. I'm a baby in the family, and I'm just like, I mean, try it out and, if it doesn't work, my mom told me, shit, like, let's try something else. How much do you think that played into it?
It's weird because my dad was worked for corporate for 30 years, like complete opposite of entrepreneur, traveled 5 days a week. And so actually all 3 of us daughters are entrepreneurs. And so I don't know if it's because we saw my dad not have control over his schedule, you know, and like not be able to be home if he wanted to be. And then, you know, still, it's not like they treated him the best. Like that was kind of the old school way of doing things. So all 3 of us are entrepreneurs and work for ourselves. So I don't know if it's, yeah, maybe something with the baby. I think I was the first to sort of officially go out on my own and just quit my job and go. But I don't know. I haven't thought about birth order in that situation.
So this question is for both of you guys, right? So when, or both of you ladies, sorry, I apologize. So when people, when people are watching the show, right? Some people are like, you know what? That's all good for them because they're living in this land and they're living here and they're just doing these things. This is all. Talk to us about the things that people don't understand that you guys deal with that when, you know, that other people aren't. Like, because again, from the outside, you could look at, you know, Nashville Guru, amazing, shows people how, I mean, connects people on all different levels. If you want to know about Nashville, you go to Nashville Guru, and then you look at the co-founder, and you're like, wow, this young, beautiful woman, she's got a great family. She either really cleaned up her house, or her house is really clean in the background, like you can see it. You know, like with Jamie, you know what I'm saying? She's got dogs that bark really loud. Like, no one could get to that level. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you look at these lives, right? People look at these lives and they're like, what are the things that we don't know, that we don't understand that you guys go through?
So with me, it's, I mean, kind of being in the spotlight, that's hard. You know, people don't necessarily know me as far as walking down the street, hey, that's Jamie Robinson, but they know my husband. And so they assume that I am a certain way, so to speak, like how Abby was like, okay, I don't know what she's going to be like, you know? But I made it a point for me growing up, or I say growing up in this league, that I'm going to still be the same person that I was 20 years ago when I left Louisiana. You know, nothing, I'm not going to change. But you can get people that think I am on the other spectrum. So,
But you guys, they can't really go anywhere because everyone knows J-Rob, which makes me sad for them. Like, I'm like, have you been to this restaurant? Have you been to that restaurant? And she's like, no, we can't really like do that. And that sucks.
Yeah, it does. Like, we went to Broadway once. Whenever we first got here, that was our last date night before he started camp. And some people knew him already. And that was like our first year. So he does get spotted now. I mean, we've been here 6 years now, which is crazy to me, six seasons. And, but it's, I don't know. Now people are starting to notice the girls, especially Taylor, because there's not many teenagers with a bald head, you know? So it's but it's cool. It's neat.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but Kelly is one of, like, he is a huge Titans fan.
No, Jamie, I ain't even a huge Titans fan. I am the number one Titans fan of all time. I can challenge you on this. There is, and I'm not even joking on this. I can challenge this because I've been a fan since I was 6 years old. I'm 46 years old. That's 40 years. You will not find a fan in Tennessee that started with the Oilers. I can guarantee you. I can guarantee that. That didn't start in Houston. So, Abby, this is the bone I got to pick with you because there was a lot of people up for your job, too. You know that? There was a lot of people up. There was people that sent resumes right away, and maybe they weren't resumes, but they were pictures. They were pictures. I photoshopped my head onto Ryan Seacrest and her face onto Kelly Ripa, and I had the logo. It was Jamie and Kelly live, but you got the job, Abby. So,
Jamie and Kelly live. That's amazing.
Abby, what is the part that we don't understand that you go through? I mean, because people look at it and be like, wow, now she's, you know, everything works out well for the Nashville Guru. Like, tell us about the things that are tough.
Well, I think from like the beginning when we started Nashville Guru, I mean, it took 4 or 5 years. And my co-founder is my husband. So this was not like I had someone supporting me while we started Nashville Guru. We were poor, poorer than poor. When we didn't ask for any money from our family, like never got a dime. I had a little bit of savings from working after college for a couple years. But besides that, we were living on that. We were skipping friends' weddings that were out of town because we could not afford to go. We would go to a birthday dinner and order like one drink. We'd be like, we already ate. And then they'd be like, do you want to split the, you know, people split the tab. We're like, no, No. We cannot spend the cab. We spent $12. Here's $15 with, you know, we like, that's what people don't see. And then also most recently, mm-hmm. like with COVID, as soon as COVID hit, guess what? Every single one of our advertisers pretty much was gone. Like events, restaurants. So I think it's more just the daily pressure of, and we have one employee, and then I also have like a house, like a nanny. And so I'm paying basically our salaries, and then two other people are relying on our livelihood and Nashville Guru. And for their life, that is a lot of pressure on me. So I think that's it. It's like no one, I have to work every day to get people's paychecks.
What's the ghettoest thing that both of you have done in the last month? Because a lot of times people think when you get to you guys level, and let me explain ghetto-ness. It was the same. It was like you guys buying one drink. You know what I'm saying? Like having my daughter get a glass of water when we couldn't afford to get a drink, and be like, yo, they won't check you if you put some lemonade in there, daughter. Go get it. You know what I'm saying? Jamie's like, that's not the right thing, Kelly. I can see it in your eyes. I did it. I'm going to apologize when I get to heaven. God will be okay. He forgives all sins.
In the last month?
Give me something ghetto, because I know both of you have something that you've done that you're like, you know, because we still do it. We still grab a hold of stuff. What is it?
I can't think. I'm thinking hard.
I don't know. So it's not...
You mean to say that in the last month, you've both done all high class stuff. You haven't had like, you know, you haven't had, you know, some natty ice, you know what I'm saying? Like you have.
I'm allergic to that stuff. That's something I will not ever go ghetto again. Never.
What's the ghetto that you'll always keep? What's the ghetto that you'll always keep with you? Right?
Like, well, I really like to do my own yard work, like mow the lawn, do that. Like I grew up doing it, and I just feel like it's something that I want to do. I want my kids to do it. Like, I don't know. I learned to weed eat.
Yes.
Or whatever you guys call it, weed whack.
Yeah.
It's not ghetto. And then I love cleaning my own car. So I go through the wash, but then I like vacuum. I will spend an hour vacuuming, washing it down.
This girl is so type A. I can't. That's another reason why we go good together, because we're so opposite.
So Jamie, what you're saying, Jamie, is your car clean? Is your car clean, Jamie?
Yes, but only because I had to have it serviced yesterday, so they detailed.
So tell us about something that you guys absolutely love about being in the position that you're in, because people will talk about like, oh, this part, because we want to know the part that's hard, but also what's the part that you're like, this part kicks ass. Like I, you know, I love this. What is it?
I think right now it's meeting our different guests and kind of proving that they're normal people. Cause like, what you were saying, asking us how people do we come across normal, which yeah, we do. But that's what I love about meeting these guests and talking to them. Luke Bryan's wife is the most hilarious person mm-hmm. you will ever, ever meet. And so real, mm-hmm. so real. But it's that. That's what I love.
For sure that. Mm-hmm. I echo that. But also... For Nashville Guru, I love just like eating at all the newest restaurants for free. It's great. Like they have you in, they wine and dine you. You get whatever you want.
See, and that's why she's not. Yeah. So I can get on her train. That's a ghetto move.
I knew it was going to come out at some point. I knew it was going to come to the forefront. So
yeah.
Abby, has it always been the type A part? I mean, when you guys get in the studio, you're about to go, do you make sure Jamie's chair is right where it should be? And do you make sure, did you?
I bring the notes, and I got us matching notebooks so that we're on point. That's just who I am. I like to be like in control and have everything set, and it's just part of me.
It was so funny the last time we did one. She sends me a message. She was like, "Hey, my printer won't work. Can you print this out?" I'm like, "Sure." So I printed it out. I came so close to folding it and then sticking it in my purse. And I was like, "Ooh, she's going to kill me." And then I show up and she has these cute little notebooks for us. I'm like, "That's why I didn't fold it up."
She was like, "Oh no, I think I folded it. Oh no, let me look. She's like, "No, I didn't." Okay, good. But I was so worried she wasn't going to print it and bring it.
Well, for those of you out there watching too, these two got on exactly at 11 o'clock. And I believe, this is what I believe, at 10:45, Abby was making sure that the flowers were in the right place. The lighting was good. And you look great. You look great. tell me this. Who is the ultimate, as far as guest wise, that you want to have on the show that you haven't had on yet, that you guys are like, you know, "Hey, this is for me." And you can each answer this question. Like, you know, who is that person?
Ooh. I really want Nicole Kidman.
Oh,
cause she lives in Nashville. It's realistic.
Yes.
And Practical Magic's like my favorite movie.
Have you watched 9 Perfect Strangers?
Yes.
I've read it.
She only reads.
Did you hear her gasp?
She reads like 20 books. She reads like 20 books a week. Like, she's posting all the time, making me feel bad about myself.
Me too. Oh,
Jamie, are you now going to say like, "Oh, I want some author"? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want this romance novel author. I'm just joking with you. So yeah, who do you want?
If I would have an author, it would be Elin Hildebrand. She's in Nantucket. She's my most favorite author. She's actually a friend of one of my friends. So I'm like, it could be a possibility, but she's fantastic. She's had breast cancer. So she's a big advocate for that. I mean, I would love if she would be on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
If sky's the limit, Oprah Winfrey.
Sky's the limit, girl. Come on.
Okay, Oprah.
Oprah. Okay. Sure. Say it loud and proud. Okay, Jamie. Yeah. Jamie, who else? I mean, I said author, so I took you down a road. But who is like the ultimate, like, that's going to turn you into a 16-year-old little girl? Like, "I can't wait for this show."
You know, it's so, I've never been like that. I've never, to be honest. Like, as a kid, I've never been, starstruck.
I haven't. Yeah.
So I think maybe Reese Witherspoon, that would be cool. Again, she's in Nashville. Mm-hmm. That would be really cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Kelly. I'm boring.
No, I don't think it's boring. But I don't think they have to be celebrities. Like, for me, like, because people will always ask me, like, "Oh, who's the number one?" And seriously, like, I want to have Chuck Woolery on, and I want to have Wayne Newton. And they're like, "What?" And because Chuck Woolery, if you used to watch it, Abby, you're too young for this, and both of you are too young for this, but on Love Connection, every chick wanted to hook up with Chuck Woolery. Like, he was the man, 2 and 2. I'll be back in 2 and 2. And all the ladies would be there for a date, but they would just be looking at Chuck like, "You are the man." I would love to have him on the show. Like, that's what I'm talking about. And I want to have the champion of the world. I don't know what the title is called, but the champion bowler in the world, like the number one guy or lady.
Why that? Why bowling?
Because I'm a bowler.
Are you really?
I love bowling. I was on my bowling high school team.
Were you really?
I love bowling. So we're going to, this is how I segue. Jamie knows how I segue. So we're going to segue into, what is the thing that you know, if you brought that person into your realm, that you would whoop anybody at it? Abby, you start off first. Like, that could be. Do you want some Hallmark questions? Do you want me to be like, Jamie, how do you feel today? How's the weather? You know what I mean? No, we're here to know Abby and Jamie.
This hard today, Kelly.
Honestly, mine's bowling.
So you would whoop anybody. You would whoop anybody.
Not anybody, but I'm not gonna whoop anybody. You'd whoop me. Budgeting.
Oh, okay. Jamie was like, "You got me." Right, got me. That would be
really good. I don't know. I love like making a budget, doing like, because I'm an accounting. Like I did accounting, so I'm like.
So you would just murder people in that. You would be like, hey, if you're stepping into that ring, I'm gonna knock you out. I'm Tyson. If you come into the CPA, budgeting. Okay, cool. Jamie, what would it be?
I would be flat on the ground in ashes.
Jamie's reading for sure.
Reading.
Like, reading per
party planner.
Party planner. Oh, so anybody that wanted a party plan, you would just get them, you would kill them.
No, absolutely not. You know that Hugh guy, what's his name? Hugh Hauser?
Yeah.
Is that him? That he's a Nashville
guy. I don't know.
I couldn't whip him.
Well, if there's no budget, I could whip anyone at party planning for sure. We team.
It's fun.
But I'm saying that skill, I mean, like, yeah, that, you know.
I sure have fun.
What's that swag that you have that, you know, if you go into that realm, like you're not going to be able to hang with me. Now, Jamie, you're a very, very humble person. I've tried to get you to the point where you're like, yeah, I got this. This is who I am. And I've never been able to get you there. But there is something inside you, Jamie, that you know that you could do better than anybody. What is that thing?
I mean, I can work a room. I am being serious about that. I can work a room. I can talk to a pole, as Carly would say. That's just a gift that I've always had. I get it from my dad. He can do that for sure. But I would say that's my number one skill for sure.
Abby, what's your high score in bowling?
It's only like 218.
Whoa. You got game. Let me ask you this. Do you think you could beat every Titan's wife at bowling?
Yeah.
How much would you be willing to put? How much would you be willing to donate to charity in a charity bowling tournament of all the Titan's wives? Of all the Titan's wives, how much would you be willing to put that anybody that came up would get smashed by you?
No, I would donate whatever to charity, but I'm not, I'm joking. I used to be really good at bowling. Now I'm not as good.
If we gave you 4 months to get ready.
Get ready.
Oh my God.
Could you beat all the Titans' wives?
What?
Could you beat all the Titans' wives?
I don't know. I feel like this is a very male dominated question because I don't think females think like this. We're not like, what could we crush people at?
Okay.
Do you?
Well, I'll tell you this. I've worked with for the last 29 years, well, 90% women. And every woman that sat down came from a friend that said, I love your hair. I love your hair. I would like to go to your hairdresser. Not because she was happy for the woman for having good hair, but because she wanted her hair to look better than her friends. I know you guys. I know you ladies. I've dealt with you. I've been with you forever. And you just touched your hair right now. You were like, well, I just need to make sure mine looks good right now. If you're seeing Abby. I understand that you're not going into it smashing, you know, stuff like that. But the reason why I ask is because a lot of times we have the tendency to want to work on our weaknesses as opposed to just gravitate towards our strengths, right? Is this, talk to us about that. And is that something that you both believe that, you know, and is it something that you're teaching your kids that they should just gravitate towards their strength as opposed to trying to pick up their weakness?
For me, like I'm witnessing it right now with Bailey, my youngest. Her weakness is school. Like me, like I have two different children completely, and Taylor is really extremely smart, like ridiculously smart. So is John. Bailey, on the other hand, she struggles a little bit with school. She's a BC, ABC. You know, she has a little bit of all three. And so I did as well. Well, this year, I'm watching her learning how to study. She's studying every night. And this is without me saying anything. And it's blowing my mind. I'm just so proud of her. So she's taken her weakness and she's trying to make it into that positive all on her own. And it's amazing to see her grow as a teenager that way, you know? It's neat.
Yeah. I think I struggle with on the kid portion on Jessa, because, you know, they have to do well at school. You can't just be like, you suck at math, you're not going to do math anymore. We're done. You know, so I think they're, you have to, like, with school, they've got to get by, they've got to do their thing. But with Jessa, she's just a very confident human. Like, if you asked her the question you asked me, she would tell you, like, five sports that she's never played that she could crush people at. Like, I took her to play tennis once, and she was like, I'm the best tennis player that's ever existed. And I was like, you barely hit the ball. So I don't know how to, like, bring her down to reality without crushing her spirit of, like, confidence and her sass. And she's like, I'm like, she's going to be a consultant or like a critique of something. She will critique, like, if I make a smoothie with one too many strawberries, she's like, it's too many strawberries. Like, she's just, and I'm like, she's very hard to parent, but she's going to be a great adult. And so I don't know the fine line of, like, I don't want it to take this out of you, but also, like, you're being very rude, but that's just who you are.
I'll tell you, Taylor had a little bit, she was very controlling when she was younger. And I would try to, Tay, you can't do that to your friends. You're not going to have any friends anymore if you do that.
Yeah.
And then finally, I just gave up. And I'm like, you know, this is the way she is. She was born this way. I can't take that away from her. And, you know, she still is like that to this day. And it's actually, it's helping her be such a great little leader in what she does.
Yeah.
It's amazing to watch.
That's good.
So a couple of things, knowing your story, Jamie, and for those of you out there listening or watching, you know, if you listen to, you have to listen to Jamie's podcast that we had. It was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it was a high and low. We laughed, we cried. I mean, it was amazing. And to be able to hear your story. So we know a little bit about your story, but we know the struggle. We know the fact that you would be willing to drive in that two-door truck, but you wouldn't be willing to give up the hotels. Remember when we talked about that?
Yes, I do. Yes.
And with Abby, you talked about struggle. You talked about, like, you know, don't split the check because we only spent 12 bones and that's all we got. This made you both, right? The struggles made you both. How are you going to manufacture struggle for your kids? Because your kids aren't going to go through that. I see your house right now, Abby. Your kids aren't, like, looking and being like, yo, let's split a soda. That ain't happening. You know what I'm saying? So how do you manufacture that? Because this was said to me the other day by a guy named David Hamilton. I'll probably mess it up. But he said, hard times make strong men. Easy times make weak men. Weak men make hard times. Now, you can insert women into that aspect also. So we people, right? But weak people make hard times.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to manufacture struggle for your kids so they don't walk through this thing easy?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I hear what you're saying, and we've talked about this before. I grew up in a 1,400 square foot home on the bayou, but at the same time, my parents provided for me to go to Catholic school that was 30 minutes away. It was just something they wanted to do since I was in kindergarten. And I learned at that point, you know, I obviously did not have as much as everybody else. But at the same time, I did have that 1977 Mercury Cougar, two-door Cougar that was like a boat, you know? It was fantastic, and it was Smurf blue. And it wasn't like everybody else's, but for some reason, my parents taught me that, you know what, be thankful for what you have. And it's hard raising my children up to where we are now because, yes, we are fortunate. But we are those old people that say, when I grew up, you know, I lived in this house. But they've come such a, like, they are being developed into such strong little girls and women that they want these shoes. I'm like, if you want them, I'll split them with you, or you're going to pay for them yourself. I'm not going to spend that much money on you. Your foot is still growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the little things that you have to do.
For me, so we were not at we are better at times than others with this, but Jessa kind of earns money for like making her bed or, you know, hanging up her towel, cleaning up her bathroom in the morning or whatever. And then when we go to the store, I make her bring her money, even the grocery store, because she's like, well, I want those vanilla wafers. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to buy those. I don't want those in the house. Like, you don't need to eat a whole box of vanilla wafers. She's like, well, I want them. I'm like, well, they're $4. You have your money. And she's like, $4? I'm not buying those. Like, she, yeah. So if I,
that's
if,
awesome.
If we go to the store, if it's something she needs, I'll buy it for her. But if it's something she wants, I'm like, no, I'm not buying it. If you want it, you take it out of your money. And so mm-hmm. we're starting with that. But I think like my dad, we grew up with some money and he paid for, you know, I was very, very fortunate of how I was raised, but he made us work. I've had a job since I was 15. I worked at Sonic and he said, I'll buy you a car, but you're putting gas in it and you're getting the oil change and you're cleaning it. You know, like I will provide for you, but you have to, you know, do the next step. And so I saved a ton of money, like working at Sonic and never had to go into debt, like in college because for spending that's money awesome. And stuff, because I had saved. So I think just create and like lawn work and all that stuff, my parents were like, you know, to have pride in your home, you know, and to like get things done. We did the dishes. We did, I think it's just the little things for these kids that are growing up with a lot.
Was it the skates? Did you have the skates at Sonic?
Well, I didn't like to skate, but you got a dollar more an hour if you skated.
Are you serious?
Yes. And you had to have one skater on every shift. And so I would skate if I absolutely had to, but I'd bring my rollerblades because I was better on rollerblades. It was so hard to skate with those drinks.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I think you guys should do a roller night for the Out of Bounds podcast. You guys should old school roller night, and then Abby's gonna beat everyone in bowling, but she's gonna act like she doesn't have that competitive spirit that she does. I know that.
I bet she does too. It has not come out yet, but I tell you she does.
Tell us the special part about Nashville. Like for those of us who have been there, there's something about the place, right? And I mean, I've got a lot of things there. Like for me, I've got a lot of things. I'm the best Oilers and Titans fan of all time. And then when they moved there to Nashville, I mean, I lived in Memphis and Memphis was so much different than Nashville. And I remember, visiting Nashville for the first time and going and there's some magic. Can you explain to a person out there that has never been to Nashville? What's the magic about that city?
I honestly think it's the people. I just think we like have some of the nicest humans in the world that truly want to connect and are genuine in their connection. And I think as Nashville, because you know, I've been here since I was 8 and I don't know, it just, as it's grown, like we've kept this small connection of like, you'll help your neighbor. You never know, like businesses in general, you'll help each other. There's not like a really super competitive spirit. I just think, I don't know. I think it's the people.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It reminds me a lot of New Orleans in a way, like with Bourbon and Broadway, you know, but it is, it's a lot with the people for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you're enjoying it. Now's the time to do some shameless promotion. This episode is brought to you by Squeeze Dried, a delicious, no-hassle way to get superfoods, vitamins, and nutrition. SqueezeDried.com. It's also brought to you by Cardenas Law Group, a high-level boutique law firm for all your personal injury needs. That's CardenasLawGroup.com. Thank you so much again for listening. Hopefully you're continuing to enjoy the episode. What's been the biggest lesson since you guys started the podcast? What's been the biggest lessons that you've learned about yourself?
Silence.
I mean, well, we're sort of still at the beginning.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I'm like proud of us mainly because we kind of hit the ground running. We've never hosted anything before. I feel like we like, on a call the other day with like the Titans team, they were like, what do you feel like is going really well? And Jamie just goes, well, I know Abby and I are working. And then we were all like, mic drop, see you later.
Like we're working really well.
The call's over. But no, I think I'm just like proud of us for jumping in on something mm-hmm. we've never done. And I think doing a pretty good job at it. I've learned that I'm like, I am that type A. So to have something that's not entirely in my control is a good like growth strategy for me. It's like, you never know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And so as much as I try to plan, and that's where we yin and yang is, I try to plan. And then Jamie just like shows up and is like, I'm going to talk, I'm going to cry, I'm going to go wherever. And I love it. It works.
It does. So my philosophy with it, which isn't, I mean, this is why I love her so much, because you do all the research and she types everything out for us. But I go in there and I like to not know the person and not know anything about them. So that way I can genuinely get to know you on air.
Mm-hmm.
But it is cool because of what she does and the notes she brings. You can also look down and that way you know what questions that we're each going to say or just, I mean, it's weird, Kelly. We don't plan a thing. We literally sit down and we look at each other and we say, okay, who's going to talk first? You know, it's just, we don't plan a thing, but we just, we roll with it. We had one, we actually interviewed her best friend, and she was our practice podcast. So that way the whole team could figure out what we need to do better between us being hosts and the production crew. And finally, at the end, they were like, we don't need to change anything. We're just going to stash this one off to the side and use it if we need to, because that's how good it was. So it's been pretty neat to learn each other too, learn how we connect and how we just gel together so well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you ever going to have any men on the podcast?
Well, they keep asking for J-Rob.
I think it would be great.
Podcast is a little bit football, but majority lifestyle, you know, but I don't know. He said he'll do it, but this isn't about necessarily the Titans.
That's what I love. You know? I'm honestly like, that's what I love about you guys' show. What I love about your show is that you guys show the human side of people, like all the people. And I loved it the other day. You even, Abby, you did the I'm at the club and I'm biting my lip and the arms up. Like you started doing this one. Like you were doing the dance. I know the dance too. When the ladies in the club, they start to feel it. They got elbows up. They tighten their lip. And if you guys go back, you'll see the highlight. It's on their Instagram. And Abby is, she's feeling it. She's feeling it at that time. So, no, when I'm talking about like being able to have men, because I think a lot of times, I mean, well, it's easier now for a man to talk about things that they're not doing. Because most of the time guys go to, this is what I'm doing, as opposed to who they are. Does that make sense? Like, and I find it, you know, interviewing guys on the show, a lot of times I have to break them of that. I'm like, I don't want to talk about, I mean, you even think about Jamie, when we had you and J-Rob on, like, we didn't talk about what he does. Like, we wanted to talk about who he is, right?
Right. Exactly.
Do you see that happening? Do you guys see that happening? Or do you guys continue to see that you have women that way? Or are you guys going to have men on the show?
Well, the other day we interviewed Caroline, Brian, Luke Bryan's wife. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk anything about Luke. And at the end, I told her that. I was like, look, we wanted to bring you in. We brought in her and her best friend. And her best friend had just started a business as well. We wanted to come in, make it a best friend's episode, and know about Amy's business, which is Less Is Living. She's an amazing organizer. She like keeps me in track. And then with Caroline, they have their foundation, Brett's Barn, and she has a little clothing line. And it was to get to know her, not necessarily to get to know Luke.
I don't think we'll have guys on unless it's you.
Okay. Yes.
Well,
no, we're going to have his wife.
Oh, yes, okay. You wife, do. Hey,
fantastic.
My wife is awesome. And now I'm going to say, like, the reason why I'm saying this is because as a guy, and I'm lobbying for this. I already lobbied for your job too, Abby, and I lost that one too. So, but I want you to know it was instantaneous, but I think it was a little uncomfortable too. Cause it was like, I was on a plane. I remember I was on a plane. I know exactly where it was. Jamie said, like, I'm starting a podcast. I was like, yes, that's so great. And then I thought, I was like, who should be the host, the co-host with her? Who could be there? And then I called my graphic artist right away. And Jamie, if you could show her that picture, I'm sure you still have it, or you erased it because it seemed like a stalker.
I did it. It's on here.
But it is. It is so, but the reason why I'm saying it is just because for myself, I got a chance, through my business, I started off in the professional beauty industry, and getting a chance to be with women, I got a chance to be able to have perspectives that most guys didn't get to be around, right? And that's where I want to go right now. What are some of the things that husbands don't know that if they did, that would be so simple that would shift their marriages?
For my marriage, it's just like the planning ahead, okay. Right? Like if my husband could plan 1 week ahead, he would be, cause I'm like 2 to 3 months ahead, right? I'm okay. Like, I know what we're doing for Christmas. I'm thinking about spring break next year. Like if he could be 1 week ahead, it would be nice.
So like, what would it do? But what would it do? Would it make you think he was sexier? Would it make you like, you know what I'm saying? Like, would that be, because my wife did this the other day, Abby, this was crazy. She was like, you know what? We were talking and I call it a fast, loud discussion. some people call that fighting, but I don't call it fighting.
I'm going to steal that.
And she said to me, she was like, you know what? Everything would change if you would. And I was like, and I was waiting. I was like, man, she was like, I would think you were sexier if you were. And I was like, what is it, baby? Like, I'll do it. And I was thinking, I need to get a different car. I need to work out because my arms aren't that great. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I need to get my shirt taken in so they're tighter on my arms. And she was like, if you would. And I was just, it seemed like 5 years. And then she was just like, do the dishes. And I was like, what? What? I've been trying to get this house. I've been trying to build businesses all over the country. I've been trying to get the 401k right, trying to do the retirement. I'm trying to buy houses in Park City. I'm trying to do everything. And all I have to do is wash the dishes?
Yeah.
What is it? Like, how would you react to him if he planned 1 week ahead? What would the marriage look like at that point? Because I wanted to see it.
I think you're more attracted to people. Well, here's, okay. So we go to marriage counseling.
Okay.
And what she told me, which really helped me understand, is when you first meet somebody, you are attracted to the qualities that you do not have. Okay. So I'm very type A and he's very kind, patient, chill, relaxed. So that's what you're attracted to initially. So you want what they have. But then she said, but they're also the things that drive you the craziest once you get them and you're together, because those things are never going to change. Okay. So I don't want to change him. That's why I was attracted to him in the first place. But, you know, it's like the rest of your life you're spending making them be like more like you, you know, and that feels like it's going to be more attractive. But I don't know. I think just not having to explain to him every second of every day that's going on. It's all on the calendar. Just look at it. We got a birthday party at 2. We got this at 3. All right, we're going to my mom's at 5. Just look at the calendar. I don't want to tell you.
So if he did that, man, if you're listening out there, what's his first name?
Josh.
Okay, Josh. Just plan 1 week ahead, bro. Plan 1 week ahead. Everything will be good, man. Date night will be sweet. She'll always get a babysitter. There'll be like parent time. Parent time is always good. You know what I'm saying? So Jamie, what is it? What's the one thing, like the one little tiny thing that J-Rob could do that he doesn't realize how much of an effect it could have?
So we're kind of dealing with that this morning a little bit. We are completely opposite. I mean, there is a picture of us that we had an event at Nissan. I don't know. What was it? The spring mimosas. And one of the photographers got a picture of us and he's standing there. His hands are on his hips. He has such a frown and I'm sitting there, big smile on my face. So when we got that picture in, I was like, wow, this is us to a T. Like, I am the one that's always smiling and just everything is roses, and he is the one that's always frowning. And so we laughed about that. But like this morning, it's homecoming week for our girls. And I am trying to tailgate with some of my friends. And I asked him, I was like, well, we're going to go tailgate with X, Y, and Z. And what time, you know? And he was like, well, we have to be there for 6:50. So 6:30. I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm thinking 5:30.
Yeah.
And he's like, I am not going for that time. And I was like, well, then I'll see you there.
Yeah.
And he's like, are you serious? And we are completely different. And I have to give him credit, though. He works his tail off. He wakes up at 4:45 every morning and doesn't get home till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. So he's exhausted. And right now during football season, and especially right now since Taylor cheers, we go to every high school football game that she's at. And that is actually his only night off. So it's his only time to sit in his chair, mm-hmm. have a bourbon, and just relax.
Yeah.
And that has been kind of taken away from him so he could watch Taylor cheer, which actually he doesn't even get to watch her because she's standing off to the side in front of the student section. We can't even see her.
Oh.
So it's a little bit of a give and take with us, you know, mm-hmm. whereas I'm at home all the time, and come Friday, I'm like, yay, let's go tailgate, mm-hmm. you know, so it's we're just different.
So J-Rob, if you take the bourbon in a cup that doesn't look conspicuous to the game, you can actually sit and have both of them together.
Just give me 30 minutes, yeah. 30 extra minutes.
30 extra minutes.
You would probably answer the question just the same to you. Say, can she just not give me 30 minutes in my chair?
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
So as you guys go, like, tell us about the most epic fail recently as a mom. Like, and I've had these where I got mad at my daughter. I'll give you an example. You know, my son came in and we had ordered In-N-Out. And In-N-Out is, I mean, the best.
It's yummy.
So we order In-N-Out. They give us only one fry, and they don't give us two fries. And one of the fries, my daughter starts eating, and my son didn't get fries, and he was a little sad. And I was like, no big deal. Just have a couple of your sisters. And she went off on him. And then I pulled her in the room, and I was like, look, you need to, you know, share, do all this stuff. And then I realized that the reason why there was only one fry from In-N-Out is because daddy was on the phone while I was ordering and I wasn't paying attention. And then I had to apologize to my daughter. What's the most epic fail that you guys have had as parents lately?
I just had one. And I really do feel like it's a big fail. I will say that the number one thing that I do as a parent is I always apologize. Mm. If I know I'm wrong, I feel like that is huge with raising children, you know, because not everybody's perfect at all. So what my fail was, Bailey, my 12-year-old seventh grader, was having school soccer tryouts. And so with our school, middle school is 5th through 8th. So a lot of their sports are 5th and 6th grade teams and 7th and 8th grade teams. So she's in 7th grade, and it became known to us that they were going to have two teams, JV and a varsity. And some varsity players will also play JV. And so I wanted her to be prepared for her just to know that there's this chance that she'll get on the second team. So I was talking to her like that, which I can't do. You know, each child is different. And with Taylor likes to be prepared in that way. Bailey takes it as, oh, I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm learning to navigate these two children. And she was bawling, and I'm like, I'm not saying you're making JV. I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm like, But I want you to be prepared just in case you're on that second team. And John comes home and I'm upset. And I'm like, I need you to know what I just did. And he was like, yep, I would not have done that with Bailey. That is something you can't do with her. And now, granted, she's starting the varsity, you know. Mm-hmm. But still, I just wanted her to be prepared. And I know now I can't put that into her brain. I just need to let it happen naturally. And then if she gets upset, if she makes JV, then that's when I talk to her, you know. Mm-hmm. But Taylor was completely different.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Mine's similar. We had Jess's first grade, or somewhat similar, her first grade like parent-teacher conference. And we slacked over the summer. I had a baby. We didn't do a lot of summer school type stuff. So she's like, they were like, she needs to work on reading. She's a little bit behind on these. You need to be practicing. And we're just not good at doing stuff at home. I don't know. We're just like, we're outside till 6. We come in, we shove dinner in their faces. Like, they go to bed. We're like, just not, I don't know. We aren't to that like routine yet that we're in. Like, you know, we're a family that's growing and like, we need to create these changes. So anyway, so, you know, her teacher gave us a lot of feedback. I came home and I just like gave it to her straight. Not a good idea. Mm. She like started bawling, crying, same type of thing. I just delivered it wrong. And she was like, yeah. But I thought I was really good at reading. And she was like bawling, crying. And I'm like, this doesn't mean you're not good at it. Yeah. It means we just need to work on it. But I just felt like such a failure. And I was like, why did I do that? She's 6 yeah. years old, but
that's what I did with Bea.
She's such like a tough, sassy little girl. Like you think she can handle mm-hmm. more than she can. And so I just felt horrible, but.
Another pause for station identification and shameless promotion. This episode is also brought to you by Finley Cars of Las Vegas. I tell you, next level in the car buying experience. And not only that, but the life of your car, the service that you're going to experience is incredible. It's Finley Volvo Cars, LV.com. And also brought to you by Bling Shine Serum, the only product on the market that will add weightless moisture, strength, and shine, and the only product that has the endorsement of my mama. When I showed her all the features and benefits, she smelled it and she said, this is the greatest product that you've ever done. And I thought, Mom, do you not look at the features and benefits? She said, no, if it smells like that, it must work. And I tell you, every single woman needs a little bit of bling in their life, and this can be purchased at KellyCardenasSalon.com.
Yeah,
I think both of you are such a such poster children for balance, because every time Jamie, anytime that we connect, we talk about like you'll connect with me about Taylor, or you'll connect with me about Bailey, your family, and then you're like, oh wow, you know, I got a picture from you one time where you guys were at the Titans game, and you're like, yay, this is so cool, but. Yeah. There's that part. And this is the part in studying you, Abby, that it's not about you being a hard charging entrepreneur. It was about you having a business where you could actually spend time with your family, spend time with your husband, and be able to love that part. Can you talk to the young ladies out there? Because every time, like, and I speak to people all over the country and all over the world. And when I do, every time that I'm there and I open up for question and answer, women ask the exact same thing. And they ask this of my wife. How can you balance? Give me some like actionable items, how I can balance, because they say like, I want to be a mom, but I also want to be successful in business. I want to be successful in business, but I want to, you know, I want to have a social life. How are you guys able to balance and give us some actionable items on those things?
For me, it's all an ebb and flow. Like there are times where my business needs me more than anything else. And I dedicate it to my business. And then there's times where I feel out of whack and my family needs me. I think the term balance for me, it doesn't really work like that. You're never going to be in sync. It's like you might spend 2 weeks grinding it out at your office, right? Coming home for dinner, going back to your office, working till 11 p.m., doing like the bare minimum at home. And getting a lot of help and having a nanny watch your kids. And then you kind of get that piece done and you're back. I'm never fully in balance. There's always one thing that's not. That's that. So I don't have advice on balance.
No, but that is, I love it because I think people throw that word around a ton, and everybody's looking for, okay, well, and I mean, my own belief is that if you put 50% in both things, like if I put 50% of my energy towards my wife and 50% of my energy towards another woman, my wife is going to cut me real quick. You know what I'm saying? There's no way. And you have to, my wife says this, there's no balance truly. You have to give 100 wherever you're at. And when that happens, it will grow, and then you flip the bottle. Does that make sense? You know, and mm-hmm. you just keep flipping the bottle. But Jamie, talk to us about some of the things. How are you able to manage it all? And speaking to those young ladies out there that are saying, like, I want to have a successful marriage. I want to have a successful, you know, home life. But I also want to go out there and be a gangster in business too.
Sorry, can I add one thing?
Go.
Because this is something that has, like, been on my mind is I want these young women, have the kids, like, have your family, because that is something that can't wait, honestly. Like, yeah. I feel so strongly about this. Have the kids, have as many kids as you want. Everything else will come later. Like, you can start a business at 40. You can't necessarily have kids at 40. So I just feel like have the kids, mm-hmm. I think.
With me, it's funny. I, like you kind of said earlier, like you were asking me questions, and I have a hard time, and not being positive about myself, but I have a hard time saying, oh, I'm good at this. And John lately has been putting me in my place about it. Like, I laugh at this one. Like, she impresses me to the extreme with the way she runs Nashville Guru, and she's so put together, you know, it just, and I sit there and I'm like, all I do is sit home and do my laundry. Like, it's a joke between us now. And I was joking with John about it. And he was like, Jamie, he was like, you do realize you're on two boards, that you run, you know, like, he just started listing all this stuff that I do. I'm do all the stuff with the Titans wives. Mm-hmm. And he was like, do you understand that's, you may not get paid for this, but that is your job. And honestly, like, I'm tearing up right now thinking about it. I'm like, wow, you noticed that? You know?
Yeah.
And it just, but on my mind, I also think, wow, it is impressive the way Abby does all this, whereas I feel like I scramble so much. Like, the past 2 weeks, we have been busy. Like, you and I have been busy. You with your stuff, and we had a couple of podcast meetings, and my kids are running me around ragged. It's homecoming week. They need disco pants and soccer. I got one calling me yesterday at 3:00 going, Mom, where's my soccer socks? And I literally, wait, I'm at the exit. Here's Dick's, you know? it's a lot. It's a lot to manage. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, I want to compliment you, Jamie, because the way that I view you, and a lot of times you don't get a chance to be able to see or hear the way that other people view you. One of the things that comes to mind right off the bat when I think of you is you're one of the best salespeople that I've ever met in my life. And the reason why, seriously, the reason why I say it is because all you have to do, most people have to do all the NLPs, and they have to make sure that a person has this script and that. You, because you are who you are and your heart is so strong, you could say, I touched this thing, and everyone will want to touch it. Everyone will want to go to that place. And there's very few people that have that talent because they're so focused on the sale, and you're not focused on the transaction. You're focused on the relationship. And that part makes people feel so safe. And that's why one of the big reasons why the podcast is going to the heights that it is because people aren't feeling like they're getting sold. When you're listening to Out of Bounds, you guys are sharing. You're sharing your hearts. And Jamie, I want you to realize that and to understand that. And that's I know that probably you didn't think that salesperson is going to come out of my mouth when I think about you. But again, the influence that you have on people is so tremendous, because literally all you would have to do, like, when you post a book, every person that sees that book is like, damn, what's the book? What's the book?
I will say, people like my books.
No, they like you.
She is a salesperson at heart. She's like, oh, I ran into this person. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get his number. We're going to get his wife on. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I'm just like, yes, work it. We love it. Love
you know,
see
it's
it.
Funny. My brother-in-law, whenever I was in college, my brother-in-law, he always kept saying, Jamie, go to sales, go in sales, go in sales. But I was always like, no, I can't do that. I can't. I don't, because my biggest fear is the fear of no. I don't want to hear somebody tell me no, because I take it personally. I don't know why. It breaks my heart. And I'm like, no, you're supposed to say yes. And like with the JDRF stuff, it's funny. I will pat myself on the back. I've raised a lot of money for JDRF, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And what's so funny about it is I hate asking for money. I absolutely hate it. I get hives. I get nervous. I'm just like, don't make me do that again, please. But for some reason, we keep raising money, and it's fantastic. And now I have my little one doing it.
I know. She's crushing it.
So do me a favor, both of you, can you guys look into the screen? And I want you to think that you're talking to, if I was able to get all the girls together in this world, right? And we had them in an audience, and they were from ages 12 to 16. And you got to give them three pieces of advice. Abby, you start off, and then bring it home, Jamie.
Three. I guess I would say follow your gut. Intuition is everything, in my opinion. You can do whatever you want in this world, literally anything. And work hard at it. It's not going to come easy.
I would say, which is a hard one because I am, is don't be gullible. I can be pretty gullible. But I feel like a lot of these kids right now are with social media, and, you know, body image would be another one. Don't worry about body image. I mean, yeah. I know some amazing, amazing ladies that don't have that A-plus body that people think you need to have. And it is unbelievable to me, the confidence that these women have. And it's something that me as a woman, I look up to so many people like that. And then just be your true self. You know, have a happy spirit and just be your true self.
Those are good.
So they're amazing. So, because I think that, you know, having a daughter, I have a 12-year-old, and I want her to hear from powerful women like yourselves. I want that her to hear that, you know, it's possible to do these kind of things. And even though Jamie is like, you know, I'm at home doing laundry. You ain't home doing laundry. I mean, this is one of the most involved people in
the laundry room. It's sad.
But I mean, you're one of the most involved people. And then you look at, you know, with you, Abby, and what's so great about you and studying you is you're not beating your chest saying, look at Abby, look at Abby, look at Abby. You've built a business off telling people that other people are great. And that is so admirable. It blows me away because most of the time people are like, yo, check me out. Oh, by the way, I use this. Oh, by the way, me. And you're just like, hey, look at that person. Look at that person. Look at that person. Look at that person. Although I do like going to dinner and getting it for free, but look at that person. Look at that person. Look at that person. Look at that person.
Exactly. That's me.
I love it. I love it. I started the podcast because of iconic people like yourselves. And I wanted to show my kids, seriously, Maddox and McKenna, I wanted to show them both that iconic people like yourselves are not superheroes, that you're human beings and you have great attitudes and phenomenal work ethic. So if you could both use their names, Maddox, who's an absolute cartoon character, one of the heads of the chicken nugget makers, and McKenna, who's my artist and has a heart of gold. And she's 12 years old right now. What would your advice be to Maddox and McKenna? And if you could use their names, it would be awesome.
Maddox and McKenna, use your father as a role model. He has the kindest, biggest heart out there, and keep loving him.
Maddox and McKenna, just be you and work hard and luck will find you.
I love you both. You both have been absolutely tremendous. And now's the time, guys, that if you're out there listening, you're watching, there's only one podcast you need to check out. And I ain't talking about mine. You need to check out Out of Bounds. It is so much fun being able to have people in a human environment. And you're going to see some of the most elite. And I'm going to call the shot because you are going to have Nicole Kidman on that show. You're going to have Nicole Kidman on, and you're going to have, I can't remember the author that you said, but the Nantucket author.
Elon Hildebrand.
Okay, Elon Hildebrand. Got it. Yeah, you said that. There is one person that I need you to have on, though, and this is not for me. It's for my daughter. My daughter is a big Stranger Things fan, huge Stranger Things fan. The biggest Stranger Things fan, meaning that I took her to school this morning and we talked about Stranger Things the whole ride. It wasn't about reality. She was talking about where all the stars were this weekend. And, you know, my son should have changed his birthday because they were at Disneyland the week after ours. She is that in. But I just found this out. Sadie Sink, who plays Max on Stranger Things, the little redhead, is a Tennessee Titans fan.
Stop. No kidding.
Okay. So I don't ask for stuff. I don't. I want to contribute. She needs to be on your show.
Yes.
She needs to be on your show. And when you get her, I am going to fly to Nashville and I'm going to bring my daughter, but I'm not going to tell her. And she, Sadie Sink's going to be on the show.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
okay. All right. You're putting it out there. I like it.
Putting it out there. And so all of you out there listening, you know what you need to do. You need to check out the sponsors. You need to click the links. You need to do all the stuff that you know you need to do. But you need to check out the Out of Bounds podcast. You need to check out Nashville Guru. And I know it's coming to other cities too. I know it's coming to other cities because I heard about it. And it's coming to what's the next city that that you guys are working on, or have you already done it?
Charleston is up right now.
Okay, Charleston is up right now. And I believe that as we go around, I believe that there's going to probably be 50 or 50. Is there 51 states or there 50?
I'm not answering that.
I'm not answering that either. Because I was just about to say it with conviction, but then someone was going to soundbite me and be like, yo, he's not educated, which I'm not.
Nice. Add one.
I think it's 50 states.
We gotta Google this.
Okay, but maybe a couple of them ain't gonna make it. But I tell you, Nashville Guru is gonna go, and it's so incredible because you're literally promoting other businesses and other businesses that would never get the shine. And my wife and I, we started as small business owners, and we wish that we would have had a voice like you. We would have given you some free snacks to come in.
Thank you. No, since the beginning, our motto has always been like positive all the way. Like, we literally delete any negative comment. If we don't like a restaurant or something, it's just not there. We've never, ever talked bad about any business. Running a business is hard. So
that is amazing, but it's going to come. And that, like I said, you guys need to check out the podcast, the Out of Bounds podcast. I think one of the best in the world. You need to check out Nashville Guru. You need to donate to JDRF too, because if you get a chance to be able to listen to a past episode with Taylor Robinson, I mean, it was unbelievable. She's a real life superhero. The things that she deals with on a day-to-day basis will blow your mind. And then you see her, and you see her light, and she just is like, this is just normal for me.
It's unreal. It's unreal.
And so I think that I think each and every one of you need to do that. But the thing that I'm going to ask for our audience right now is, if you got any value out of this podcast, which I know every one of you did, you laughed and Jamie almost cried, which I loved it. I think Abby got a little emotional too, but she was like, I am so type A, I ain't even trying to let these tears come out my face. She did that. But if you got any value, I want you to share it, because I think that more and more people need to know about these two individuals, and not about what they do, not about what they've done, but who they are. Because the more and more that people know about who they are, then you'll realize why these two are some of the best salespeople in the world, because they live what they're talking about as opposed to just talking about it. So I want to thank you both, Abby and Jamie, for being on the show.
Thank you guys
have been absolutely tremendous. You blow my mind all the time, and I appreciate you. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on the show.
Well, Well, thank you, and go Titans.
Thanks, Kelly.
Come hang out with
us. He's coming to the Chiefs game, and I'm not going to be here.
Oh no!
That's why she's That's why she's going to be out of town. So I said it, and she's like, "Look, I can't be in town while he is." But I want to say thank you again, and you two are officially off the hot seat.